So today we're going to actually have three pieces of scripture. We're going to start with the Acts of the Apostles. In the 7th chapter, verses 55 through 60 is what it says in your bulletin, but I'm going to back up a little bit to 51. Stephen is one of the first deacons of the church. The new church after Christ has risen and gone and Acts is now everything is in community. And Stephen is one of the people responsible for helping those that are marginalized, specifically the widows and the orphans. And he has just given, all of chapter 7 is this long exhortation that he has given in his best lawyer, teacher voice, saying, being a prophet, y'all ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. All right, and he has told the Sanhedrin and those that are in power, you're not doing what God calls us to do. You are not doing what Jesus taught us to do. So we're going to back up here and hear the end of his words. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones that received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it. And then this morning's readings. Then they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he says, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, they all rushed against him together. And then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of the young man named Saul. And while they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he died. I added the psalm reading to that today because after a stoning, I think we need to have a little bit more grace and hope. So please hear the words of Psalm 31. In you, Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and the prosecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
Now hear these words from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith in me as well. In God's house there are many dwelling places. Otherwise, how could I have told you that I was going to prepare a place for you? I am indeed going to prepare a place for you, and then I will come back and take you with me, that where I am, there you may be as well. You know the way that leads to where I am going. Thomas replied, but we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus told him, "I myself am the way. I am truth, and I am life. No one comes to Abba God but through me. If you really knew me, you would know Abba God also. From this point on, you know Abba God, and you have seen God." "Rabbi," Philip said, "show us Abba God, and that we will be that will be enough for us." Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen Abba God. How can you say, 'Show us your Abba'? Don't you believe that I am in Abba God and God in me? The words I speak are not spoken of myself. It is Abba God living in me who is accomplishing the works of God. Believe me that I am in God and God is in me, or else believe because of the works I do. The truth of the matter is, anyone who has faith in me will do the works I do and greater works besides. Why? Because I go to Abba God, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that God may be glorified in me. Anything you ask in my name, I will do." Here ends the readings of our words for the day. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and the pondering of our holy and our sacred words. Please pray with me. Holy God, I thank you for this day, for this opportunity to stand before and among these, your beloved people. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For it is you, O God, who gives us strength, and it is you, O God, who redeems us. Amen. So how do we know the way? Jesus says, "If you know me, you will know the way." Jesus declares to his disciples in John 14 that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He also says that because of their faith, that they will be able to do what he does, and even greater works than those. We see that take place in the book of Acts as we hear about the first martyr, Stephen, who is stoned. And following in the faith and in the path of Jesus Christ, his life is given for his faith, for righteousness' sake. But then we do hear the psalm, those words that serve as a balm for the soul who knows that life can be hard, who knows that we might not be able to control all of our circumstances, but that God is our fortress, a very present help in times of trouble. Some of us, many of us, find ourselves in times of trouble, whether it be an unfortunate accident, a diagnosis that tells us our days are numbered, the loss of a loved one or a relationship, struggling with dis-ease or addiction, or living in a war-torn country, living without adequate resources or support, feeling alone, being at the end of your rope. Many of us know what it's like to live in challenging times. It's no different than this early church. Jesus is preparing them for his death. He has, in the chapter beforehand, talked about his death and betrayal. He mentions it again, and he says, "But I am going to prepare a place for you." When I hear that, after hearing about the betrayal and the coming death, what I hear is that there is hope yet still. Jesus is going to prepare a place for us. So even in the midst of preparing for his suffering, for his challenging time, he still has us and our well-being on his mind, so much so that he tells us, "I am going to prepare a place for you." So even in the midst of your challenges, there is this place that we can go. And even in the midst of our challenges, that heaven with Abba God, with Father God, with Mother God, with Creator that Jesus is speaking of, is not just a heaven in some far-off place, but it is also a heaven that we can realize here and now. Evidenced in the breaking of the bread, in the pouring of the cup, we have the ability, through our faith in Jesus Christ, to taste a little bit of that resurrection power, to have a little bit of our thirst quenched in the midst of our challenging times. I don't need to go through the headlines. You all watch or read or hear the news. There are challenges all around us. And yet, our faith in Jesus Christ invites us to hope again. Where do we see this kind of hope in our world today? In February, Ryan Burge wrote an article. He is a sociologist and an anthropologist, and some would even call him an ecclesiologist. And he wrote an article about the decline of the United Church of Christ. He talked about very plainly that UCC is running out of churches and it's running out of pastors. And it's a litany of statistics and reality checks for a lot of those of us who aren't paying attention. But one of the things that I want to push back at is that while we definitely should know the facts and what the statistical profile of the UCC suggests, we are people of resurrection. Our story doesn't begin and end with numbers that talk about decline and death. Perhaps if we took a page out of Jesus's narrative, we would understand that there are challenges ahead, and yet there is hope. The UCC statistical profile in 2023 suggested that there were about 4,600 churches. At the end of 2024, that number went to 4,400 churches. There are 3,900 active clergy, and the average church that's looking for a pastor might receive two profiles nationally. There's something happening, though, in Michigan, because our statistics are a lot higher for our churches and for our churches in search. We are actually receiving more profiles than the national average. We are receiving more candidates. We have more new church starts. And to date, we've given over $2 million to fund new initiatives throughout all of Michigan. So there's something happening here that helps me know that not only is this a vital conference, but the Spirit of God is alive and moving and active. And you all know, and I'm telling you nothing you don't already know, you all are going to be featured in Nurture the Soul precisely because of how vital of a congregation you are, because of how much hope you bring to this community, because of how much compassion you so, because of how much justice your faith demands. You are a vital church. You are a blessing to the United Church of Christ. And it is because of you in communities like this that there is hope when people outside of those walls, or even the people here inside of these walls, experience challenging times. It's not to suggest that following Jesus is easy. Ask those first disciples. When Jesus died and they were looking for their Messiah, and throughout a series of appearances before he ascended, they were afraid. Were they going to be next? What was going to happen to their movement? Everything that they've been working for, they left their families behind. What would happen next? And then you fast forward a few decades and you hear Stephen's story. That's what happens next. They are right to be afraid. They are living in danger, but that doesn't stop their faith. It doesn't stop them from doing and saying the right thing, even when it's hard, even when their lives are at stake. Jesus says, "Do you want to know the way? Do you want to know how to get to Abba Father, to get to that place whether it be the realm of God called heaven or the consciousness that we can adopt in the midst of trials and tribulations here in this present life that helps us get through and push past to the other side. In order to get there, Jesus says, follow me. I am the way. For many of us, and I'll speak for myself as well, following Jesus doesn't look like the cross. At least I hope not. And yet, he invites us to pick up our crosses and to follow him. While none of us can guarantee that life will be without challenge, all of us will experience some challenge at some point in our lives. Our faith in Jesus Christ is what anchors us. Our faith in God is what sustains us. Your faith, First Congregational, is what has sustained you. It has what has been what has prepared you and preserved you for such a time as this. While the world is changing, the church is certainly changing, our faith never ends. We have an opportunity to preserve our faith throughout this generation and into the next. One of our churches said, but we don't have any children at our church. How can we share our faith with the next generation if we don't have any kids? And I said, by simply sharing your testimony, by simply showing up and being a presence in your community, by making donations that support initiatives that strengthen the resources for children, by supporting this very church, because every dollar that you give to basic support, our church's wider mission, 90% of that stays here in the state of Michigan to support the clergy, the churches, the initiatives here in Michigan. 10% goes on to the national church to support worldwide initiatives that strengthen our church globally. You all are doing life and doing faith in such incredible ways. Thank you for being the church. And at this time, or in any challenging time, because this hasn't been the first challenge that humanity has experienced, and it won't be the last, God is with us every step of the way. Some of us who are ecclesiologists and prophets who speak truth to power and study statistics and look at church trends and spend more time probably than what is necessary looking at graphs and charts. I love that stuff, so it's okay. But we make some predictions about what will be based on what is and what has been. And I have some predictions I can make. Instead of focusing on numbers that are different than they were 70 years ago because populations have shifted, culture has shifted, I would love for us to think about who remains. Instead of who isn't here, who is here, or who are we missing that we can invite here? Maybe in the physical congregation, maybe online in a group, or maybe in some other expression of church and fellowship. But who can we invite on the journey of faith right along with us? That's the future of the church. It's going to look more like the first century church where Jesus invited those followers to just follow him. And when he died and they said to their followers that they're living in his way, that's our invitation today, to simply do that, to follow the way of Jesus, no matter what the circumstances may be. Whether things are great or not so great, we are invited along the journey of faith. And our end goal is Abba God. Won't you join Jesus on that journey? Won't you follow him? As I close, I would love to share with you an exercise. It's called futuring. Anthropologist Ari Wallach calls futuring a verb. It's something that you do. There are many possible futures for every single one of us, for all of the churches in the Michigan Conference, for all of the churches in the UCC. And the future that we live into is the future that we co-create. So while there are many possibilities for the future, there is a future that we can intend. So for all who are willing and able, I invite you to close your eyes for just a moment. Take a deep breath in, breathing in the life of God. What do you feel? What do you sense? Where is God? Now, how can you take that feeling, that sense of the divine, and share it with those that you love? That, my friends, is being the church. May it be so. Amen.